If you would turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are, your word. We've opened your word. And so, Lord, you are the Word become flesh. So they're your words, and Spirit of God, it is your wonderful, wonderful assignment, as it were, to bring those words home to our heart, that we might have the benefit of all that you are and all that you will be. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And as we're looking at the Gospel of John, 1 John, and so keeping in mind, if you would, we've been looking at chapter 3, etc., and God has reminded us rather quickly and fully that we need to understand that God, in his wonderful grace, saves us in a wonderful way. And that way includes all of God's awesome person. So God in Christ in the heart, God, underline, in Christ in the heart, God in the heart. And we share together. Like this isn't very good, but it's a branch. Think of the trees, the branches, like we shared. John 15, 5. You abide in me, and I abide in you. And you'll bear much fruit. As long as the branch stays connected to the tree, abiding, it enjoys the life of the tree. The branch doesn't have any life. The tree does. But when the branch is connected to the tree, the life of the tree finds a home in the branch. And the branch enjoys the life of the tree. To have fruit. Fruit and leaves, I should say. It enjoys a unique, awesome relationship. That relationship to God in Christ, in you, brings about what? God, Jesus Christ, God in Christ, brings us his life. And thus, Colossians 3 and 4, Christ is your life. Christ is your life. What's that mean? He's your life. He crucified your old nature, even though you have to live with it till you die. But you also have physical life, yes. But you also have a unique relationship to God that is to be like the vine and the branch, to enjoy the life of the tree, to enjoy the life of God. And we share together. What does that life bring to us? It brings God to us in his wonderful grace. God, as we share together all of these things, Christ fulfills the law. Every jot, tittle, every little mark in the Hebrew language, he fulfills every word to the nth degree. That's what he does. And this Christ, Romans 10, etc. Romans 10, he's the end of the law, 10, 3 and 4. He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So God's life brings you God's law. I can't keep the law. You can't keep the law. He brings his life to keep the law. The life of God in you keeps the law. I don't keep the law. I break the law in my old nature every day. I can't keep the law. Never going to happen. God in me is the law. He keeps my, he's my life. He keeps the law. And we're to love God. We shared all that. The commandments are all summed up. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. The first four commandments. And love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, God created everybody to be saved. They are to be saved if they would but be saved. And they are to enjoy God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God, I have your law, and I have your love. I know you want me to love you with all your heart. Where am I going to get that love? Your love. I'm going to get it in Christ, who is my life. And how am I going to keep the law? You keep the law. I have the law in Christ who keeps the law. And where am I? 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away and everything has become new. God, I have it all in your wonderful person. Now you got that. That's pretty awesome. I said it in a little bit. That's an awesome relationship, isn't it? Awesome. Now what? We're ready. 1 John. And the problem, going to go chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but put them on trial, put them to the proof, test them, examine them. Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not. That's a negative, present tense, imperative. Stop, I'll say it. Stop believing. You're believing every dumb thing that comes to your head. You get all kinds of things in your head that you believe about God, about Bible, about you that are wrong. They're not right. Stop doing it. How can you enjoy the life if you get all these dumb thoughts in your head and heart? How could you possibly do it? One minute you understand it, the next minute you throw it out the window. Stop doing it. That's the command. Present tense. Don't do it. That's the command. Stop doing this. And remember now, belief doesn't make anything real. Belief is only belief. I can believe this is an apple. I believe it. It isn't true. It is not an apple. Belief doesn't make anything true. It just enjoys whatever you're resting on. If I think this is an apple, Jeanette says, eat it. You see? If I believe the bus leaves at 10 o'clock. It actually leaves at 1 o'clock. But I believed and I missed the bus. I missed the bus too early. I missed the bus. The pew holds you. You trust the pew. You don't make the pew the pew. The pew is the pew. And you believe it. And you sit in it. Because you believe. And you believe. Belief doesn't make anything. It's just where you put it. That's all. Where you put it. You're believing all kinds of things. All kinds of things are being said. All kinds of things you're hearing. We hear the Bible here, and we believe this. We grow up. Grow up. The longer you live, you get more stuff in your head. Then you grow up. Get all kinds of stuff in your head that you believe. I may not, may be right, may be wrong. You have to test them. That's what God's saying. God's saying, would you please sit down, and that's why we're going to do doing what we're doing and going to do, to see it comes out right for Christmas. What? I want you to believe, understand the relationship. All the other things rob you of your understanding of the vine and the branch. For without me, you can do, John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing, nothing at all. And nothing means nothing. So Christmas, you got nothing if you don't have Christ. You got a belief in something that you isn't even real. It isn't even true. Now, so keeping that in mind, so therefore, with that little bit of background, let's take a look at it. Over in John chapter 3, and in verse 23 and 24. Verse 23. And this is the commandment. So it's helping us. What is the commandment? The tent, you got to do this, do and don't, do and don't, do and don't. No, that's not the commandment. The commandment says that, but they got to put that in context in verse 23. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, of His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe. That's how you do it. You believe. You don't do, you believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your life. You believe it. And love one another as He gave His commandment. And God, that love has to be from you. Because I don't love everybody. I don't even love myself properly. You have to bring it. So therefore, the commandment, all Matthew chapter 22 and that, the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, verse 24, he that keepeth is watching over with the eye, observing attentively. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth. The word dwell is the word abide. You're looking at abide, abide, like the branch to the tree. Abide, dwell. I'll read it. He that keepeth, observing attentively, his commandments dwelleth, abideth in him, in God the Father, in Christ. God in Christ in you. Dwelleth in him. And he, God the Father, in the believer. Now, that's pretty simple. Awesome. It can't be true. It is true. Read it slow. Let it sink in. They're only little two-letter words. Three letters. You don't get, even I can understand it. Verse 24. Dwelleth in him, in the Father, and he, the Father, in the believing heart. That's what it is. That's what we're to believe. God in you. That's the test. Not Jesus. Jesus brings to us God. Jesus is the Son of God becoming incarnate, born in Bethlehem of Judea, to bring God into the heart. That's the real issue. Is God. God, we're in His presence. God, we're connected to God as Christ is in our heart. God in the heart. We're connected. We are permanently, wonderfully saved and connected to God. Ah, yes. Now, so therefore, verse 24, hereby we know, what are we knowing? That he abideth, there's the word like indwell, abide, to find a home. John 15, as the branch abides in the tree in the branch. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. Now, you can't get simpler than that. God, the Father, is in you if you're saved. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. Now, how can we know that he abideth in us? I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I don't see it. I don't understand it. No. Verse 24. Hereby we know that he abideth in us. By the Spirit. By the Spirit which he hath given us. By way. He's the source. By means of the Spirit of God, which he hath given to us. So all of the wonderful life we have that Christ made possible, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, the Spirit of God makes all of that real and all of that possible in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over, if you would, please. And God has given, God, the Spirit of God, it's his job. Some to say it that way. It's his assignment to what? To make sure that all that God has accomplished on Calvary's cross, and when you receive him as your Savior, all that God has accomplished on Calvary's cross is for you. Am I going to get it? God, the Spirit of God, it's a gift. And the Spirit of God is going to bring it home to your heart. It's his job. I don't have the law, and I don't have the love. I don't have it. But the branch, the tree does, and the life of God in Christ brings to me the law and the love and all that I need, so that therefore we're able to go in God's most wonderful way. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that happen. I don't make it happen. God made it happen. God did it already. That's why you're saved. God already did it. So I'm already there. Right. But the trouble is, the world system, you're listening to too many things, and you never get it clear in your little, your heads, our heads and hearts. We don't get it clear enough to understand it, to enjoy it. Therefore, Romans chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. And you'd recall. And picking up, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, your old nature is not going to enjoy, is not going to honor, is not going to appreciate, is not going to do one bit. Your old nature is not going to be one little bit of help in understanding this. Your old nature is against it. Because Christ crucified your old nature, and your old nature doesn't want to play dead. So our old nature is offended every time I try to abide. It's just going to oppose me. But so, see how easy it is for you to abide this afternoon. Really, abide, like the tree. Show me how easy it is. How easy is it to abide? Do it. Do it. It's not easy. Well, I got to think about it. What do you mean abide? I got to think about what. That's the trouble. And we don't do it. We talk a little bit, we say it like this, and it's all gone. So now, Romans chapter 8, your old nature is not for it. Know it. Verse 6, 8, 6. What to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, fleshly mind is enmity, hostility, is an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. It is not subject to the law of God. It won't honor the law of God. Neither can it be. It's against the law of God, against God's righteousness. That's why it's sin. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh, in this body, cannot please God. Now God, so therefore it isn't anything we're going to do. Spirit of God, I can't make that life. No, the Spirit of God does. So A, you got a clear cut. It isn't going to come out of you. You got that part. It's dead. You cannot please God. Who can please God? The Spirit of God is able to take the work of Christ and please God for you. He makes it possible. Therefore, you would understand, you read it. Verse 9. But, contrast, we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God abide like the branch of the tree, dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You're not saved. That's all. You're just not saved. Why go to church? I don't care if you go to church 24 hours a day. It doesn't save you. Verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him, Christ, be in you, be raised, but the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell, abide in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies you live in by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Spirit of God does it. The Spirit of God is to help you understand the life of God, the relationship. I can't make it. He does. And therefore, I can seek to practice what he makes possible. How so? To believe him. Believe. You walk by faith? What? Not by sight. You're trusting him. That's what you do. How can I trust? I'm believing. I'm leaving the pew. I sit down and I find the pew is just what I thought it was. God said, why don't you believe that I am who I am and you are abiding in me? Just believe me. What am I going to do? I'm going to rest my word on Christ's work and I'm going to trust. God's word said, believe. He didn't say, make it happen. He said, believe. And when I rest my hands on the wood, it's solid. Solid. When I believe, I'm resting on what God said. Believe that I am in you and you're in me. I've just read it in 1 John 3:24. The Father is in you. All right? Believe it. Okay. I believe. And I'm believing what you said, God. And thus I have the benefit of what you said, and that you said it, and you said it and mean it, then do it. Do it. I believe it. My belief is what? Resting on God to have it happen. I'm not resting in you or me or anybody. We're resting on God to make it happen. So therefore, at the end of verse 11, chapter 8, by the Spirit that dwelleth in us. Now, go back over just to tie it together for a moment. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Hereby we know that he abideth. Don't you just did it. He abideth in us. How so? By means of the Spirit of God, the Spirit which he hath given to us. I just read in Romans 8. Now, I don't know. It's pretty clear. There's no big debate about it. God said it. Other people didn't say all kinds of things. God said. What does the recipe say? Not what you want it to say, and not something you're going to, let's do it. Over to Galatians. Galatians in chapter 1. May I pick up, please? Galatians 1 and verse 6. I marvel that you were so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. But there is no other gospel, right? But another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection. And we talk about it in all kinds of... They're going to do it this Christmas. You can go different places. You'll hear all kinds of different things. What the babe, born of Bethlehem, etc., etc. See? Huh? Yeah. And Christmas will be over. And then what can I tell you? So therefore, the grace be another gospel, which is not another. In verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's pretty clear. And again, God, you're going to hammer it home. Verse 9, as we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, let him that you have received, let him be accursed. There is only one gospel. There's only one, according to the scriptures. Take away the scriptures, all kinds of gospels, all kinds of news, all kinds of whatever, all kinds, it's all there, all there. The 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel, according to Christ, was died according to scriptures, buried according to scriptures, risen according to scriptures. That's why you got the Bible. So you don't have to get 85 different things. What does God say? Not what people say and think. Let's do it. You see it, see it. Galatians, keep going on Galatians. Over to chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. The Spirit of God. Verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Don't get tied up in another gospel. I believe this and about that. I believe in all kinds of different views and understanding of being saved and going to heaven, etc. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? You know, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Verse 2, this only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? When you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of God, Christ saved you, and the Spirit of God is found in your heart. Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now perfected by the flesh, your old nature? Absolutely not. The Spirit of God started. He made it possible for you to be saved, and that's how it's going to work. And you, there is no other. And we got all kinds of other stuff coming in a little head about all kinds of things that aren't even correct. If you say it, we'll examine it. It ain't even true. What you think about God? What do you think? I bet there's a lot of Christians that have a funny notion about God. They don't even understand about him. Now, picking up, verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Chapter 4. What does God do for us? God, like the vine and the branch. You'll see it. Chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made of under the law. He went to the cross and died the gospel, the good news. To what for? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, to be placed as a son. Would to be placed as a son, adoption. Because You are sons. How so? God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God, that's present tense. You're crying, Abba, Father. He's helping us understand what God has made possible in Christ. He's helping us understand the wonderful benefit, that we have a benefit. The Spirit of God is going to help us, that we're sons. We're really, 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 really sons. I'm really, really, really a child of God. I know you don't. I don't believe it either, in a human sense. Now, who can be anything? We're but vessels of dust. But God made us sons. That's who we are. And I got to get rid of this old nature because it doesn't want to ever change. So God said, listen, be of good cheer. 1 Corinthians 15. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to get rid of your old nature and change you. And you're going to become like me. I'm going to do that. Just like that. So be of good cheer. You got to live with this guy, your old nature, till you die. That's the way it is. Or I take you. Now, so having said that, in Galatians chapter 4, you're sons of God, like the branch to the tree. That's a relationship, a oneness. Family, a relationship. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? I don't know. I can't think of anyone you should be a family relationship to. I used to say Bill Gates because he had a lot of money, but I don't anymore. You know, he had a lot of money. What can I tell you? No. There's no one. God, there's no one but you. And if I can have that sobering, serious, supreme relationship that calls me your son, your child, the Spirit of God in my little heart and yours says, say it, Abba, Father, my Father, my Father. Spirit of God's ministry. There's no other ministry that will do that. There's no other spirit to do that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. And you will note, Galatians 5, picking up, please, in verse 16. This I say then, 5:16, Galatians. This I say then, walk where? Live, behave yourself. Walk where? In the Spirit of God. He's going to keep, he's doing it for you. Then thank him and go with it. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and so you should so fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your old nature, it isn't happy with it. For the flesh, old nature, flesh lusteth, is against, goes against the enemy, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The unsaved do what they do, and they're quite comfortable. But when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, if there's anything going for you, you aren't quite comfortable doing what you used to do. Used to do this, used to do that. You aren't quite comfortable anymore. That's good. That's a good sign. And the Spirit of God doesn't want to go the wrong way. The Spirit of God wants you to abide, like the branch, to enjoy the life. Where's the life coming from? The Spirit of God, He's doing it. Thank you. Therefore, in chapter 5, in verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not N-O-T, not under the law. No, I did all that. It keeps saying it over and over, if anyone ever listens and puts it together. It keeps telling you that. You can't keep the law. You just can't do it. And you're condemned if you're going to try to do it by the works law. You'll never make it. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, Let us also walk in the Spirit. So the life of God is going to go and do his wonderful thing. Now, what do we know? Well, Satan is the adversary, is the antagonist of God and all good. He has another name, the devil. He is the accuser of the brethren. Satan / the devil is against you ever abiding. And it's going to do everything it can to keep you from enjoying this. Why? Because the more you do this to show fruit and leaves, and people look at your life and see a difference. Using a different illustration, they look at your life like a lighthouse and see the light bulb light. That's what they say. And that's unacceptable. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to see light. They hate it. They hate it. So therefore, God, what are we going to do? The devil comes along and has 1,000 ways to do what he does, as no one else can do what he does in his awesome way. So God, what are we going to know? Here we are. We receive Christ as our Savior in this body, these bodies. Here we are assembled as the body of Christ. And here we are. We're all sitting on the ground, on the world. That's what we're doing. Now, First John 5. First John and chapter 5. And you will note, chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 19. And we know, in the light of the context, and we know, we're supposed to know a lot. I keep reading, no. We're supposed to know a lot. That's what we're supposed to do. We ought to be pretty smart, pretty smart. And we know that we are of God. And at the same time, we know that the whole world lieth in wickedness, the wicked one. And when you think of that, I mentioned here we are sitting, here's the whole world. And the whole world is in a giant casket. And everyone's in it. It's the casket for the dead. They lieth in wickedness. They lieth in it. And you and I are saved in it and out of it. And God saves us to be lights. Here's this casket. The whole world lieth in it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, go over with me, please, in the light of that. In the light of that, which way to do it? Okay. I got two ways. Well, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Remember, all kinds of voices come. And so therefore, open to 2 Corinthians, and if I can, in chapter 11, and you'll notice. Remember, all kinds of voices are there. The devil, the god of this world, hates your little life to be, hates to see you live and enjoy being saved. Your own nature doesn't want you to enjoy and enjoy being saved. God does. So therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11, sliding down to verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, but that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In other words, preach Christ. What are we supposed to be doing? That's the job. Perfect the saints. That's the job of the pulpit. to get them to be perfect before God, not to just be full of knowledge, to have a relationship, the vine and the branch. The little kid who doesn't know anything, that believes God, is safer, as we shared 1,000 times, than a big believer that could be a teacher in a Bible school. And the little kid is safer. I'd rather stay. If I had to fight, I don't mind fighting. Obviously, long time. I don't mind fighting. I'll fight, whatever, to the death. If I had to, I really would. But, yeah, God, I'd want to be with the little kids. I'd want to be with the little kids. The little kids and I. Yeah, because God's with us. God's with us. And the kids know it. The kids know it. Ah, that's what it's about. I have all these words. I can give you 10 sentences and tell you. And good. Now, what? You ought to get warm. Your heart, like the disciples in Emmaus, their heart was warm. God opened the bread, broke the bread. He said, I'm the word, broke the bread to them after his resurrection. And their heart was warm. Your heart has to get warm. My heart has to stay warm. It's have to stay hot, actually, for God. Yeah, because it's real. And then everything, I keep going. Sorry. Verse 3. Brethren. Well, I don't want to jump that fast. 1 Corinthians 11, and verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent, Satan, Genesis chapter 3, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity. The word simplicity is single, not double-minded. Not double, singleness. That you should be corrupted from the simplicity, the singleness that is in Christ. How many things do I have to trust God? Just trust God. God, what else? Just trust God. Matthew 17, that Peter, James, and John see Moses and Elijah, and God takes them away. 17:8, and they saw Jesus only. God, how many people? How many things? What do I need? Just you. Just you, God. Just you. Period. I'm your life. I provide everything that you'll ever need. I am to you your life. That's eternal, that enjoys a wonderful relationship to who I am forever. Thank you. Now, having said that, verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, there's all kinds of things out there. People hear the radio, they hear the television, they read books. Everything's there. What are you reading? What are you hearing? And where is it taking you? Where's the preaching taking you? You go to church. Where's it taking you? It ought to take you to God. That's what we started with a long time ago when we started at the YMCA. You got to get to God. That's a long time ago. If you don't get to God, you got nothing. I don't care how you look at it. You can believe what you want. If your belief isn't resting on reality, you're stuck. That's the way it is. And God, what are you trying to say? Verse chapter, you don't have to turn there. In 2 Corinthians, John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, stop believing. Stop believing everybody in every way except us. That's what you're doing. They were doing it because all kinds of people were writing, like you just read in verse 4. They're writing and telling you, well, this is the gospel, and this is Jesus, and this is that. And Jesus said, they come in my name, but I didn't send them. Over to chapter 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 13, as you know, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Ah, I thought he hates light. He does. But it's darkness that says it's light. Remember for Ephesians, Isaiah 5:20. We call good evil, evil good, light darkness, darkness light, bitter sweet, sweet bitter. We turn it all upside down. He's an angel of light. That's right. Because that's what we call darkness. And we call light darkness. So therefore, verse 15, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, his servants, also be transformed into servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So God, when are you going to come? Apostles of Christ? Angels of light? Ministers of righteousness? It's all over. They're right. And they do it with vigor. Bigger they do. Pardon, boy, you get excited and do it. I understand that. Is it of God? The Spirit of God alone can give you the life of God. And you want to stay. Don't look to any. That's why you've got God's Word. That's why you receive Christ as your Savior. And the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry is to make it all work. So what am I going to do? If you abide in me, John 15, 5, and I abide in you, you'll bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. God said, listen, I'm your life. And you're listening to all kinds of people instead of listening to me. Your life isn't in them. Your life isn't in any of them. Your life is in God, in Christ, in you. That's where your life is. And you need to abide and enjoy it. Your mind is against it. The world system is against it. The devil, Satan himself, your adversary, is against it. There's nothing around you that's for it. Your family isn't even for it. God and Christ in them is for it. But in us itself, I'm not for you. God is. And God in me is for you. But I'm not. God, I got to look to you. And God does what he does in a wonderful way. Otherwise, God, it's hard to have a Merry Christmas. It's hard to have what you did for us if we don't have it. We believe us, but we don't enjoy it. We have the gift of our Lord, the gift that you, God the Father gave you to be our Savior. But if we never exercise you, if we never exercise the gift, we never enjoy the content. The content, God, is a permanent, precious, pleasing relationship to you forever. And God, with all the ills and aches and all the messages that come and all the people that say things and do things, good or bad, right or wrong, God, I want to make sure I'm locked on to listening to you. I hear all the other, and I weigh it, and thank God for some, etc. But, God, we aren't trusting any of that. No. just trusting you. You're the source. Stop listening to everything everywhere and pay attention. The test is God. That G-O-D is in your heart. Not Jesus. God. In God. That's the test. You can see the test. If God, here in your heart. And I know I've said that for years. I've said it to you. It's awful hard, isn't it? When I look at you and there's God. But God's invisible and he's different. And God and Christ in his wonderful humanity is seated at the right hand of God. And his wonderful deity, he's right here. And because he's right here, we have a unique, wonderful relationship that is very real. And the truth will set you free. Verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Christ in you. These things are written unto you so that you know and that you can believe and you can enjoy the reality that only can be had by faith. You got to believe me, said God. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. He, if you're going to come to me, you got to believe that I am. And I'm a rewarder, a payer in full of all that trust me. I'll bring all the benefits to your heart if you'll let me. You got to believe who I am and what I've really done. God in you. I know that. But that's the test. But it's awesome.
That's right.
You're already awesome being a human being living inside these bodies. And God has made it possible to fulfill everything he had that he intended when he created you, to be able to enjoy him. That's the whole point. And I don't want to get sidetracked. But, do you understand? God, his trillions of galaxies and stars, and his over 8 billion people, I don't know what the number is, 8 billion something, maybe more, people on the earth. And God sees you right now. And all of God's wonderful person and his saving grace is for you right now. In the midst of all that's happening. And God, are you able to go? He said, I know that I can name every star that I put out there. I know them all. Know all the stars. And I'm looking for the man or woman, boy or girl, that trust me. I'm going up and down the land, finding a human heart that I, God, can find my home in all that I am. And they are able to enjoy, they are able to understand all that I am in a world of darkness that knows me not. But I found a boy or girl, a man or woman, that allowed me to find my home in their heart. And they are to find their home in my heart, said God. That's what I want. Yeah. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. Help us, we're just going along. So you got to deal with our heads and hearts. We think of all the sick and everybody. And God, Spirit of God, yeah, we love you, God. So help us. My God, I don't know what to say. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name.